Welcome to National Liberty Alliance's weekly conference call. Today is Monday, April 11th, 2022. We broadcast live every Monday from 9 p.m. Eastern till 11 p.m. If you're listening live over our radio or another network and you would like to ask a question or to make a comment, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org and click on our weekly call for instructions to join us by phone, app, or browser. If anyone would like to email a question, you can send your questions to questions, that's plural, questions, at nationallibertyalliance.org. Also, please support our business partners. You can find their banners on the right-hand side of our website, of which the proceeds go to support NLA's effort to save our republic. Also, please support NLA by donating $5 a month or more. Click on our donation tab on the top right-hand side. Okay, we're going to pick up with our scripture reading where we left off last week. We were in the Gospel of John, and we'll be looking at chapter 5, read by Alexander Scorby. Chapter 5.
After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. Whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And a certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie, and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed, and walked. And on the same day, the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said unto him that was cured, It is the Sabbath day, it is not lawful for thee to carry thy bed. He answered them, He that made me whole, the same said unto me, Take up thy bed, and walk. Then asked they him, What man is that which said unto thee, Take up thy bed, and walk? And he that was healed wist not who it was, for Jesus had conveyed himself away, a multitude being in that place. Afterward Jesus findeth him in the temple, and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. The man departed, and told the Jews that it was Jesus which had made him whole. And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus, and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day. But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son, that all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself. And hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that beareth witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesseth of me is true. Ye sent unto John, and he bare witness unto the truth. But I received not testimony from man, but these things I say, that ye might be saved. He was a burning and a shining light, and ye were willing for a season to rejoice in his light. But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. And the Father himself which hath sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape, and ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him ye believe not. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. I receive not honor from men, but I know you that ye have not the love of God in you. I am come in my Father's name, and ye receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him ye will receive. How can ye believe, which receive honor one of another, and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom ye trust. For had ye believed Moses, ye would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if ye believe not his writings, how shall ye believe my words?
Excuse me. Okay, let's see. Tonight, well, let me get rid of this on the screen first. Okay. All right, tonight we're going to talk about interviewing candidates. I know the last couple of weeks we've been looking at some very important issues. They're points that, or things we have to realize if we want government by consent. And we cannot have that government by consent as long as these institutions that are destructive to our republic continue. That's why we've been focusing in this past few weeks on these particular issues. You know, one issue we haven't spoke about yet, I was going to talk about this week, but I'm going to put that off till next week. By the way, just a quick mic test. Am I coming through okay? And did all the audio come through on the music and on the reading of the gospel?
Yes, it all did.
Okay. I noticed on this one here, I can mute my mic, and I guess it continues to flow through. Before, that was a problem, and shut that down. But okay, great. all right, anyway, one of them is the republic versus the democracy. An extremely important point and a thing we must understand, without which, if we do not comprehend and if we do not understand, if we do not require those people who represent us that we've elected for those positions and people that they've appointed, if they do not understand that, and if the judges do not understand this, who are appointed on the federal level and sometimes I think elected on the state level for the state judges, if we do not understand that, we cannot have liberty, we cannot have government by consent, we can't have our heritage, we just can't have it. We need to understand these things. We need to apply these things. We need to comprehend them. political parties are extremely damaging to our republic. Our republic cannot continue and survive political parties. And hopefully, we're going to talk tonight about interviewing candidates, and I think it's going to connect quite strongly here on some of the things, the ideas with the parties. The parties control whatever the conversation may be. And they maintain, you know, they come together, they agree on certain things, and with those things that they agree on, that they support and push legislation for, is where they get all their money from, which is special interest groups. So they're going to represent them as long as we allow them to take those bribes. And that's what it is. It's a bribe. It's nothing short of a bribe. They've made it legal. They can't be held accountable for it. Well, we the people can, but we can't get a court of record open, so we're not going to be able to hold them accountable. So they will continue to do whatever they want to do as long as we allow them to do it. And the only way that we could take this back, maybe I should move over into, hang on a minute. Okay, I'm going to move over to Q&A mode. So if anybody has a question or a comment on these things, a star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue. Okay, that silenced the problems out there. We had some mics were open someplace. So anyway, as long as we allow these parties to continue, we're not going to have. And I think tonight, by looking at how we're going to interview candidates and how we're the only way we can deal with interviewing candidates, I think that's going to be made quite clear, I hope. And if not, if anybody disagrees or has any concerns or questions or, you know, or anything, feel free to get into the queue and make those points, and let's see if we can't find correction. The other thing that we absolutely cannot continue with is the Bar Association. The Bar Association must go. It's not that we don't need lawyers. We definitely need lawyers. We need lawyers to be trained in the different statutes and codes, the different regulations, and so on and so forth, that is applied within courts of equity. And in some cases, people need lawyers to represent them in courts of law. I would really advise not to. The people who need anyone to represent them in a court of law are people who, don't know how the court system works. And we're making that available here at National Liberty Alliance. I am working on a book called Court Access in the Common Law. I think that's going to be the name of it, but we'll see by the time I get around to publishing it. I will make that booklet available early on while I'm working into the publishing side of things, but in a PDF form as a download. But I'm going to get it published, and that may take a little time. Like I said, I'll work that out. But I want to get this book out to people as quick as possible so they know how to access the courts, that they understand the process, the procedures, the paperwork that's necessary to file, and so on and so forth, and understand how common law works, because we have to return back to the common law process within our courts. But going back to lawyers, if you don't know how to access the court and you don't understand the process of the paperwork and the procedures, which again is quite simple, and we at some point in time when we get control of our government and start to take control of our children's education and things of that nature, then that at that point in time we have to push to make sure that our children are taught how to access the courts. You know, schools are responsible for many things, and that's one of the things they need to teach our children is how the court system works, how to access the courts, the difference between law and equity, and also, many, many other things. They also need to know not only the common law and understand the common law, they need to know civics. They need to know the Constitution. They need to know our history. They need to know our heritage. And if they don't know these things, they cannot have liberty. If we don't know those things, we cannot have liberty. We are in a huge mess because we, the people, are ignorant. We have no knowledge of these things whatsoever. Of course, we are learning those things here at National Liberty Alliance. Many of us are learning a lot of these things, and hopefully a lot more, to be able to have government by consent. But you cannot have government by consent unless you get involved. And you can't put it off to the other guy. So we need people to get involved on a grassroots level to create committees of safety so that they can take control. And you need about 100 to 200 people on the grassroots level to take control of your entire county. And you need enough, at least 50% of the counties of your state, I'd say at least 50, maybe 60 or 70, but you need at least 50% of the counties within your state to take control ultimately of your state. And we need at least 50% or more of the counties throughout the whole United States in order to take control of our federal level completely. We can get a lot of it under control and do some unique things to bring these people back under the chains of the Constitution. But really, we really need the people to step up. As long as parties exist, as long as the elected committeeman, well, they think they're elected, they're not even elected, but as long as the statutory committeeman continues, they will continue under a party boss. They will continue under the process of the party coming together on things, and it will not be nothing for the people. It'll always be for them, filling their pockets up with the money that they think they need to become elected. But we can do away with that, too. We can assist in many ways so that there's really not a great need for people to have a lot of money in order to be elected. And we'll talk about those things as time goes on. There's lots of things to think about and look at and learn and to execute, and we'll learn all these things as we go. As long as parties exist, we are in trouble. As long as the Bar Association exists, we are in trouble. The Bar Association, its sole purpose, and it was created for this in 1750. The bar was created in 1750, and it first took its place in the colonies in order to bring control of the courts underneath the will and the desire of the king. That's what that was all about. And it's to destroy our economic system, to destroy our political system, to destroy our judicial system. And they've done a hell of a good job on it. They've created the parties, they've created the debate one against the other. Black against white, Christian against Jew. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. And so until we get past that and make these corrections, we're not going to get anywhere. You know, many of us know that devolution is in play. I think things are happening real, real soon. There's no way that we can get past the election because they know that even with all the cheating, they're not going to be able to get the election. But I think there's a lot of things that's going to happen way before that. So some plug is going to be pulled somewhere. There's going to be some problems. And I think one of the things, you know, they've been talking about, I know Q has mentioned a time of darkness or something, 10 days or something like that. The idea of maybe an EMP going off, which they could do that in order to bring a blackout and cause all kinds of havocs and problems should they feel that that's necessary because they're about to lose their power, and they are about to lose their power. But anyway, with devolution in play and all the things that are happening and all the things that Trump is going to be doing in the military, particularly in the other white hats involved, of course, they can give us back our nation. They could give us back control. But we can't have that control because we don't know how to have that control. And again, that's what National Liberty Alliance is all about, to teach people how to take that control back. But if the people don't do it, someone else has got to fill that power void. Someone else has got to make those decisions that we, the people, should be making, not them. And I think, again, tonight as we look into some of these things, we'll understand that a little better. Next week we'll look at the Republic versus the Democracy, but today I want to look particularly at this thing on interviewing candidates. I'm not going to read too much of this. People can go and read for themselves here. You'll find this page under Start a Committee of Safety, and you can come down to interviewing candidates right there, and you will find this page we're reading. Also, this audio video that we're doing tonight will be posted up on Rumble and placed on our pages up there. You can find this under today's issues and come down to the NLA's Monday Open Forum video. If you go to that page, then you'll find all of the videos of the last couple of Mondays. So people who have missed, We the People Are Sovereign, we talked about last week. ABA must be banned for treason, American Bar Association, it was a week before. National Liberty Alliance's political parties are your worst enemy, okay? And then we had a couple other open forums that we did put up there. We're not putting a lot of them. We're just putting very specific ones up on Rumble, anything we have with some video anyway. All our audios, of course, are available under our weekly call. You can click on our weekly call, and you will find all of our audios going back to the very beginning. I mean, we've been recording for quite some time, and we very rarely miss a Monday night. The only time we've missed a Monday night is if it fell maybe for Easter or something like that, or Christmas, shall I say, I'm sorry, for Christmas, or and it might have been one time or two where we had technical problems and couldn't get things going. But generally speaking, we have been here every Monday. But anyway, you can listen to all of these audios here. Also, you can get to the video recordings from this page also. Click here for Monday Night Video Recordings, and then you'll go to that page. So there's two ways to get to those videos. But again, tonight we're going to take a look, as I mentioned, on interviewing candidates. So I'm going to read a little bit of this. Let me see, take a quick run through. Yeah, I'm not going to read a lot of this. People can come back and read through this themselves. And you should. You should. Woe is us if we don't. Everyone should. Everyone that comes to our Monday night meetings on a regular basis should have already started a committee of safety. And if you haven't, you should. It's a matter of going up. Again, you could start a committee of safety. You go up, start a committee of safety tab, okay? And you just come down and find your district. Let's see. Find the district leaders. I think we can find it through there also. Administrators, committees of safety, submissions, no. Find your county committee of safety right there. It's the third one down. If you click on that, okay, you can come down and you just click on your state, okay? When you click on your state right there, you will then find out whether your county, whether someone has started one in your county. If someone has started one in your county, you need to connect with that person and assist and help and work together with them. No matter what work we're doing here at National Liberty Alliance, the most important thing you could do is start your committee of safety. Education, to get educated and start a committee of safety and get active in your local local community. That's the most important thing you can do. So if you're not here, if you can't find yours here, okay, you can then go to your My Account. I'm not going to click on that because there's personal information in there. But you click on My Account right there, right underneath the directory and members. You come down and click on My Account. And in there, you should be able to check a box which puts you as a contact for committees of safety. And then once you do that, you'll come back here and you'll find your county and your first name and your telephone number in that on the list. So all of our leadership in National Liberty Alliance, I perceive you already started committees of safety. If you haven't, if no one has in your county, you need to do it and get it going. And again, remember, you can always pass this on. You can always go up there and take your information off, and someone else can put their information on. So you could pass that, that on to another person in your county that's interested in maybe doing that. So committees of safety, extremely important that we get them going. Everyone should be involved. Okay, let me get back to interviewing candidates. You know, a couple of people have sent me some information on questions they think should be asked, and I understand why they think these questions should be asked, but hopefully tonight, after tonight, people will realize why these questions should not be asked. And I'll give you just some examples on questions that should not be asked. Okay, let's see. Hang on a second here. You get more light here. Okay, here's some things. What's your view on the Second Amendment restrictions? And should there be any restrictions? That's a question that should never be asked any individual that's running for office. As a matter of fact, that question should be turned around, and we should make lists of problems and tell them, hey, we have people think that they can put restrictions on a Second Amendment. You understand you can't do that, do you not? Okay, we have to answer it for them. And then, you know, at the end of the day, when we finish interviewing these people, we have to take them at their word and let them know, okay, fine, you know, we'll support you because you look like you're going to support these things. But let me tell you, the day you step out of line and you start going another direction, we're going to give you a phone call, and you'll only have one chance to fix it. And if you don't fix it, then we're going to remove you. We're going to recall you out of office. This is government by consent. This is the business of the people. This is what we should be doing. We should be taking these people out of office. You should know how to do that. We will teach you that, how to do that, here at National Liberty Alliance. Okay? And it is something that that they're really working on, that could be, and as a matter of fact, this could be subversion. You start using your platform as an elected position, using your platform to try to take away our Second Amendment. As far as I'm concerned, that's subversion against the United States. That's subversion against the people. Okay? We could indict them. Maybe that's what we should do. Okay? But it's going to take a little while for people to get things straight. Okay? Especially people who don't know how bad things really are. Okay? A question you should never ask is, what's your position on Agenda 21? Forget that. Make the point. Again, we should make a list of all these things to let them know. Agenda 21 is unlawful. You can't do it. You know, don't support it. And if you do, we're taking you out of office. See, at the end of the meeting, that's where you want to tell them, you know, you break any of these things and we're going to take you out of office. We got to get tough with these people. You know, when the people fear the government, there's tyranny. When government fears the people, there's liberty. So how do you make them fear you? Making sure that they don't do the things that are wrong. And when they do, or start to think that they do, they get the fear of the people into them. That's the only way it's going to stop. There is no other way. Not going to happen. So the people have to do something. Okay. So that's just a couple of questions. You know, what do you think about Common Core? What's your position on Common Core? Do you support? Forget Common Core. There isn't. It's not permitted. It's unconstitutional. It's unlawful. They have no business. They have no power, no authority, no jurisdiction. You see, that is the point. Our ignorance to the Constitution and the powers and the authorities, the jurisdictions that we have given them, we don't know. And it's as simple as open up your Constitution. On a federal level, you open up your Constitution and you go down to Article 1, Section 8. Okay, make a note of that. And that's where you'll find the powers and the authorities that we give to any of the legislators to legislate any law. Okay, anything outside of that, there is no power, no authority. And anything outside of those things, none of these people, whether they're legislators or not, have no business using their office in order to, you know, use that as a springboard, use the elected office platform as a springboard to bring forth an assault upon our liberty. Okay? When they do that, we need to call them up and let them know. Anybody that runs for office, the county chair should make sure that they have all the information, contact information on the person that we're working to potentially bring into office that we're going to get onto the ballot. They should have their phone number. They should have their cell phone number. They should have their mailing address and their email address. And when they're in office, that's the other thing we need to let them know. Look, when you're in office, there's a problem. We're going to give you a call. And, you know, if a county chair for the statutory county, statutory process committeeman, if a county chair were to call an elected individual, they will answer the phone and they will get back to that county chair right away. They'll waste no time doing that because they know they owe their office the ability to get onto the ballot to that county chairman. You see, we have to take it away from the statutory process. We have to take it away from the party bosses, because those are all party bosses on that level, the county chairs. We have to take it away from the party bosses. We have to bring it back to the people. And when the people call them, they have to realize they're getting their power and the ability to be put onto a ballot because we, the people, are doing it. Not a party. We, the people, are doing it. And we will take you off as quick as we put you on if you don't obey the law. We're not interested in people going in there chasing the funny money and doing all the other things and, you know, maybe things that they believe or think should be put into law where they have no power or authority to do so. We have to fix it real quick. So we should make a list, and that's what I challenge people, to make a list of things that we want to let them know they cannot do. Thou shalt not. And make a list of thou shalt nots. Because if you break any of those thou shalt nots, maybe we'll give you a phone call, give you that second chance to fix it. but maybe not, depending on how bad it is. But we need to let them know before they get into office. You know, so any of these things that they may try to pick up on, again, we should make a list. So I challenge people to kind of think this out a little bit, make some lists, and get those lists to me. You can get to me at mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org. All of our leadership gets those, the mail from mail. And by the way, some people take in our email address and put it up there, and we get a lot of garbage. Please don't do that. The purpose of mail, and if you have us on, there's two or three people, matter of fact, one person, or no, two people actually, that I know come to our Monday night meetings often, and yet they have stripped out our mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertyalliance.org, and we get things from them, videos or long pages of information. We don't want that. We don't need that. We don't have time for that. Please, take us off of those mailing lists. Let's use this for only this purpose. Right, so anyway, these people that are running for office, they need to obey the people, because right now they obey the party. The party's got to go. And if anybody has missed these other programs that we've done in the past weeks, like why the parties must go and why, you know, the bar must go, you need to go back and listen to it and watch it and make sure you understand it. Okay, but let's look at interviewing these candidates. And again, I'm not going to go through much of this. You can click here to download a PDF copy of the page. Okay, right here you get it's quite a few pages. It's not that much, 18 pages. But it covers a lot of things. It covers all the things we're talking about. You can download an independent designating petition. Okay, now this is a petition that's for people who are going to walk the papers for anybody. Okay, and it's an independent nominating petition. All right, and there's instructions on how this works. You know, here's the form, and down below is instructions. Go very carefully through the instructions. You should ask questions. Come to a Monday night program. If you don't understand, ask questions. And, you know, if there's any kind of a question concerning the filling out of this paperwork. And you should check with your, you know, locally with the Board of Election in your county to see if this petition is okay to use, or do they have something else they want you to use. Use their petition. We don't care. But the thing is, if you leave your party, and that's what we're strongly suggesting for people to do, I will be doing that shortly myself. I haven't had time to do it, but I'll be going down to the Board of Election to remove myself from the party. I don't need to be on a list for Republicans to decide which Republican to for the purpose of the primary. We need to be doing that ourselves for everyone, no matter whether they are in the party or not in the party. And that's the other thing. We need to require these people that we put into office that once you get into office, remove yourself from the party. Become a non-party member. No party, no party affiliation. Don't connect with any party in there. You get there and you do the business of the people, because that's what you were sent for. You were not sent there to collectively get together with some party and do things that are destructive to our republic, destructive to our liberties. And again, until the people understand this and get involved and start doing it, we will not have liberty. And again, Trump can hand this to us, and the military can handle this to us, and if we don't do what we got to do on our end, we're only going to lose it again. It's only a matter of time. We'll fall back asleep again, and that'll be that. No, it's time to step up. It's time to teach our children. It's time to make sure our education in the schools is done properly. I promise you, this is a fact, okay? There's no getting away from this fact. We do not have to destroy the parties. All we have to do is create committees of safety. When we become more powerful than them in a county, which requires 100 to 200 people, okay, involved, 300, 400, 500 people, the more the levier, the more the happier, the better, okay? We do not, there's no limit. You know, we go to the other parties, there's a limit. There's no limit to the number of people who get involved. And again, the more people involved, the more things we can do, the more subcommittees we can create, the more control we can have on all of our local governments and different things that government is in control of. You know, it's up to we, the people, to take our curriculum away from the federal level. The federal level should only be required, and we'll put something together for this and tell them what they need to do and need to fix it. Look it. The federal government should require certain things within the educations, okay? And then everything else is up to the people, okay? And where we get the curriculum from is none of their business. That's up to the people. It's not even up to the state. It's up to the people. you know. But civics is an important thing. Court access is an important thing. The Constitution is an important thing. Reading and writing and arithmetic, all important things. Okay, the sciences are important. Okay, anything beyond that, maybe there's other things that I didn't think of. The geography, of course, well, it kind of connects. But in any event, you know, that's up to the people to add on or a certain requirement. But certain curriculums, again, can't be, you know, in mathematics or in civics or constitution or anything. It's not up to the government to say, well, you have to use this curriculum. You can't use that, this, that, or the other thing. It's up to the people. So the people need to get responsible. People need to take care of these things. Okay, anyway, it's important for, the only way we're going to get rid of parties is by creating committees of safety, taking control. They suffer from attrition seriously bad, okay? And when they find out about us in the county, and it won't take long for them to find out about us, I'm telling you, you're going to have 80%, 90% of the people over there jumping ship to come over to your side, okay? To get, because they come to realize they don't have the power over there. The party bosses will just fade away. They'll have no one to boss over. So, again, that'll fall apart on its own as long as we, the people, step up and get rid of the parties and do what we have to do. All right? So anyway, there's things to be learned. We have a handbook on committee men, and we also have this here petition for the nomination, independent nomination petition. Let's get back here. Okay, this page again, interviewing candidates. And when you download this and you have an individual coming in, you should download, if you're going to be interviewing four or five candidates one evening, and you should interview as many as possible, because this way you can go through all of the different procedures, let them know what needs to be done collectively, and then they can get up and give us their five-minute, you know, little speech, whatever they want to talk about, and have a 500-word essay, which if you support them, then we will post that up on NLA, and eventually we have some plans on NLA, once we start to get some real money in here, to redevelop our website to really accommodate the election in a very sophisticated way. And whereas you'd put your zip code in, and through the zip code it'll find your election district once they have the additional four numbers, which we have, you know, we'll have a way for people to be able to find all of their proper numbers beyond the zip code. But in any event, you put that number in and click, and you'll see, oh, okay, you'll see all the people running for office in this election that have the opportunity to be brought into, you know, onto the ballot. They'll see, you know, all of the people that were supporting the 500-word essays. We'll put that up there. It will explain what the powers and the authorities of each one of those offices are, you know, whether they're running for a legislative position or a mayor or a councilman or whatever. And we'll get, what's the jurisdiction? What's their authority? What is it they're responsible for? Do any of these particular offices have the power to, you know, appoint the individuals, a commissioner here or a commissioner there? And who does that appointment, you know? So that we can trace that down and people really become educated in the election process. Because right now we're all really morons in it. We don't know what they're supposed to be doing, obviously, because they're doing whatever they want and we don't know that they shouldn't be doing it. So obviously we're morons to this. And the only way we're going to fix that is by educating ourselves. Okay, so give a candidate a copy of this PDF once you print them out. Okay, potential candidates have no knowledge of the Constitution. And once in office, they are met by two destructive forces, the American Bar Association and the two political parties. Once these people are in office, they are assimilated into the party, just like the Borg. Right into the party mindset, corrupted by special interest bribes. And that's what it is, a bribe. They should go to jail when they take money to sell their vote when they've been elected. That is a crime. They should be in jail. What is wrong with us? You know, we've lost our common sense. We kind of still sense our common sense, but we go along, you know, with all these things that they say out there, because most of the people kind of just go along with it. We've lost our minds. We need to get back our common sense. It's not going to take much to do that. Common sense is common sense. Open your mind, start thinking about it, and realize partial birth abortion, come on, common sense. Common sense is clear, you know. You know, the Second Amendment restrictions, common sense. Do we need to think about this, you know? You know, the other thing, 17th Amendment, we need to let them know, and the 16th Amendment, they need to know that they've never been ratified. We don't even have to go about trying to take them out. They've never been ratified. 13th Amendment was unlawful. Not that the 13th Amendment was unlawful. It should be the 14th Amendment, because there's an original 13th Amendment. Let's bring it back. We can make the adjustment when we get rid of the 16th and the 17th Amendment. And we could do that without having to go through any kind of a constitutional convention or anything. They just never were ratified. I got a whole book proving that point. There's plenty of information. It's very clear. Okay. Once these people are in office, they are assimilated into the party Borg mindset, corrupted by special interest bribes, and can no longer hear the people as they continue down the political path to destroy a republic unless the people step up and take control through the committees of safety. They do not hear you. They don't want to hear you. Go to these town board meetings when you're trying to get something done. They shut you down. Oh, you only got 2 minutes. Come on, let's get off that mic. They ignore you. They don't do nothing. It's time to stop them. Only the people organizing on a grassroots level, creating committees of safety, subcommittees, taking control of what is theirs. That is your heritage. That is what controls and gives you your liberty. When government fears the people, you have liberty. To understand how destructive the bar and parties truly are, read and require potential candidates to read the following papers. And it's all connected right here. You got all the papers that we did recently. It's all in these 18 pages. Political parties are truly your worst enemy, and how the Founding Fathers feared political factions would tear the nation apart. That's attached. The ABA must be disbanded for treason. That's attached. Some of these people should be tried for treason, by the way. We the people are sovereign. That's attached. We are a republic and not a democracy. We'll be talking about that next week, but right now, that's attached. So you could read that and get an up on the next Monday night's program. Most people will say that we cannot abolish the two-party system and the ABA because they are too powerful and too deeply embedded in our political and judicial system. In today's political environment, that is true. But after devolution plays out, there will be a power vacuum. There'll be a whole there'll be a reset. Okay, it's time for us to school them, but we have to be schooled ourselves to school them. This will require, let me go back a little bit. After devolution plays out, there will be a power vacuum, and if we the people seize the opportunity, we can return to government by consent. This will require at least one half of our counties to develop committees of safety, and again, to control your state, at least one half of your state counties. For details, and that's why you should not only work on your own committee of safety within your county, you should be inviting people next door in other counties, having them to come, see what you're doing, help them to get started, and tell them to do the same to the county next door to them, and so on and so on and so on. That's the only way we could do this. This is grassroots power. National Liberty Alliance has no control over these committees of safety, nor will we even try to get control over these committees of safety. Okay, they're all on their own. We're here as advisors. We will educate. We facilitate an education, organization, communications to bring people together to do what they have to do. We'll give you all the advice and information. We may make some suggestions, but we can't tell you what to do, nor will we. You have to, and you'll figure that out. It's common sense. You see the problems. Just take care of it. Just get educated to find out what their powers and authorities are, and let's start restricting them and bringing them back under the Constitution. Let's chain them down with the chains of the Constitution. For details on devolution, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org/devolution. To learn how to start a committee of safety, you can go to nationallibertyalliance.org /people's duty. So you could find that under starter committees of safety, you can find people's duty. That's where it begins, right here. Start here to organize a committee of safety, or you can click on that one. But that's where it starts. And that's where that's going to lead you to, the people's duty. Now, devolution, you'll find under today's issues right here, devolution. If you don't understand or know enough about devolution, and you don't have no faith in the fact that devolution is in play, well, go here to this page, and then let's talk about it if you think it's not enough. But go start, get educated on it. Okay. The ABA can be shut down by simply enforcing the original 13th Amendment, written and passed by our founders in the 1818, which reads as follow. This is the 13th Amendment. We have to bring it back up. It has to be resurrected. We'll have to push the 13th to the 14th. We'll push the 14th to the 15th, the 15th to the 16th. The 16th's got to go, and the 17th's got to go. We'll have a void there. So easy fix. Or we can just make it a different number and plant it in. It doesn't matter, just as long as we get it in there. And this has already been passed and ratified, okay? Let me read it. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor, the key here is the title of honor. A title of nobility, you know, is inherited from one person to another, okay? A title of honor is something you receive. It's something you don't pass it on to your children or anything. For instance, a knight is a title of honor. A esquire, which is a bar attorney, is a title of honor. Okay, and a bar, again, if you go look, and we've laid this out, if you go look at the work they've done, you can see their whole purpose is to destroy the Constitution, to destroy this republic, to take away our liberty, to prepare us for the New World Order. If any citizen of the United States shall accept, claim, receive, or retain any title of nobility or honor from an emperor, king, prince, or foreign power, bar is a foreign power. It goes right back to the British bar. The American Bar Association was just created to take over the job. They're all part of the same thing. They're teaching the same thing, destruction of our republic. Bar is a foreign power. Such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States. Let me repeat that. Okay, you receive that and you take power and you receive that. Such person shall cease to be a citizen of the United States and shall be incapable of holding any office of trust or profit under them. Esquire is a bar title of honor from the King or Queen of Britain. The purpose of the bar was and still is to abrogate the common law, to destroy our republic. And National Liberty Alliance will charge the American Bar in the federal courts requiring their dismantlement under the following U.S. codes. U.S. Code, subsection 2385, advocating the overthrow of the government. That's what they do. They print, they publish, they edit, they issue, they circulate, they sell, they distribute, they display the written and printed matter. They advocate, advise, and teach the necessity and desirability or propriety of overthrowing or destroying any government. That's what they do. All of their work is for that purpose. Unfortunately, bar, because people don't know about liberty, because people don't know the Constitution, they don't know civics, they're totally ignorant. These people go to bar schools, they're not realizing the damages they're doing. But there are people involved that do understand exactly what's going on. We need to weed them out, find them out, and we need to bring them up for justice. And I think as far as hanging, in my opinion. U.S. Code, 18 U.S. Code, subsection 2381, treason. Whoever owing allegiance to the United States levies war against them. They are levying war against us. Or adheres to their enemies, and that's what they're doing. They're adhering to their enemies, which is the New World Order, which is the deep state. Giving them aid and comfort within the United States or elsewhere is guilty of treason and shall suffer death. Or shall be imprisoned not less than 5 years and fined under this title, but not less than $10,000, and shall be incapable of holding any office under the United States. We can shut down political parties by simply taking back political control from the statutory committee men process, by organizing committees of safety and thereby empowering the free and independent people. The political parties suffer from membership attrition because of party boss control and corruption. They cannot survive competition by a free and independent committee man. And in time, they will just erode away. Committees of safety, committee men, have far more power and authority than statutory committee men. When they find that out, they're heading over, I'm telling you. That because I've been in the committee man process for quite a few years, and so have others. Gerard has, and others have also here. And we know their game, and we know what's happening, and we see that. And people are frustrated, okay? They cannot survive competition by free and independent committee men. And in time, they will just erode away. Committee of Safety committee men have far more power and authority than the statutory committee men. They have the power to walk anyone's designating petitions, party or no party, to put patriots into the ballot. They can recall and elect officials. They can control our courts of law. They can control our local government. They can bring treason charges to the free and independent to the free and independent grand jury for potential indictments. They can take control of our children's education, requiring a classic education, civics, real American history, and instruct them on their heritage and the duty as a citizen. And in short, they can have government by consent. This is what they stole from us. And today it is possible to take it back, to take back our republic. For more information and details on committees of safety, go to People's Duty again. We showed you that link up above, but you can just click that link and go there, or cut and paste it. With the aforesaid in mind and the realization that it would be extremely rare that anyone in office or running for office knows that we are a republic, not a democracy, that we are a common law nation, that parties are divisive and destructive to the common law republic, that our courts are unjust, that bar attorneys are the minions of the New World Order, that their authority is limited by the Constitution. They are completely ignorant of the people's sovereignty under our common law republic and its common law construction. Candidates must be instructed in these things, without which they will be endorsed by the bar and political parties. Therefore, any potential candidate contacting your Committee of Safety to request an interview should be sent to nationallibertyalliance.org, start here, which again is right here, start in the Committee of Safety. An education right here. That's where they should be going. To take the following courses, without which we should not support these candidacies. Okay, look at when people want to get interviewed and they find out that you exist. Okay, that the committees of safety exist, and they want to get interviewed by you because they're looking for your support. They'll make a phone call. Okay, with that phone call, you get the contact information. You set up a date for them to come. Again, you should do 4 or 5, as many as you can in one evening. And again, remember, they're not going to talk much. You're only going to give them 5 or 10 minutes, and they bring in their 500-word essay on why they think that they should be elected, whatever they want to write. And if they have a website, they can refer to that. But really, we need to talk to them to lay down the law. This is what we expect. This is what you're not going to do. This is what you need to do. We need them. I'll start working on a list on that, things that they need to do, and things that we need to tell them they cannot do, and lead them to exactly, which we do anyway at this point, to exactly where they learn that, their powers and authorities, which is in the Constitution. So this is what we have to do. So they need to get get these courses going. And they will not be able to finish all these courses between the time they make the call and you set an appointment. Maybe it'll be a month or two, I don't know, maybe even more than that. But they can get some of these courses done. The foundation course is a no-brainer. You could get that done real quick. Introduction to the Constitution course is a simple course. They can get that pretty quick. So those two courses should definitely be done by the time they come to the interview. The civics course, they should be on at that point. That'll take a little longer. It's 120 hours. But again, it could be done earlier. A government by consent course is the longest and hardest course, but again, they need to accomplish that. Before you actually walk their papers and put them on the ballots, they need to complete that. Because remember, that's another 6 weeks, 8 weeks, whatever it is. And remember, you're going back, you're going to have 3 months, 4 months by the time they make the phone call and by the time you actually decide to walk, actually walk their ballots. They'll have 4 months, okay? From the time the candidates request an interview and have the interview, they may be able to complete all of the aforesaid courses, but may not be able to, but a prerequisite and place them on the ballot by walking there, designating petitions. They must complete the courses and request. We're going to give a certificate. When they come on, we'll set up a special place. They're running for office. There'll be a candidate, so they click that button. So we'll set that up. And when they get all the courses done, they just let us know. We'll take a look. Yeah, they got it all done. We'll give them a certificate, okay, that they have passed all those, that they've gone through all those courses, four courses. And that's when you know, okay, we can walk their papers. If they don't do it, we shouldn't do it. Unless they have a good excuse, I'm almost done, and you can, you know, we can vouch that they've got three or four done and they're on the fourth, and you can say, well, okay. But they still need that certificate. Because why put them in office if they're not educated? Why put them in office if they don't understand what they can do and what they can't do? Why put them in office? Okay, I'm not going to read too much. I think I covered this 500-word essay, chairman contact information. Okay, before opening the questions, the following expectations of we the people need to be strongly impressed upon the candidates. We the people have taken back our government by consent, and we expect candidates to represent the people and not special interest groups or party positions. Okay, this is kind of beginning of the paper that I want to create, okay, where we kind of lay it out for them what they can do, what they can't do, what needs to be done. 17th Amendment's got to go, 16th Amendment's got to go, Common Core has nothing to do with us, don't come up and bring up anything. You know, we'll lay all that out, okay? And then people can add to that and figure out whatever they do. Again, you're free and independent people on the grassroots level. Do what you got to do. Collectively, I trust that you'll find the right things to do. What one doesn't know, another will. Okay? That's why you need lots of committees, subcommittees, because, you know, all the people, you can't get involved in all these things. But we do get involved to some degree, because the main committee, is everything is reported to the main committee, and everything is voted on by the main committee. Everybody would participate, but there are people involved in putting all that information together, collecting, going out, visiting schools, and whatever it is, okay? Let's see, I'm not going to read through all this. Again, people should, it will be, it's available here to be written. I'm going to work on that paper, and we'll do another one in the very near future, hopefully in a couple of weeks, on what kind of things, how we should lay this out. And again, people can add, take away, do what they got to do. So anyway, anybody's got opinions on this, by all means, send us your thoughts as far as, don't make it long-winded, you know. Tell us that this is something that we need to cover to make sure that they're not going to do. This is something we need to get in there. Whatever it is, send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at nationallibertylines.org. I will get it, I'll see it, and we'll start working on that. Okay, so I'm not going to read any more of this. There's a lot. Well, there's not much more, but I'm not going to read it because we're kind of running out of time, and there is one other thing I want to touch on before I pass things over. Political parties are truly your worst enemy. Again, we've done that. So find all of this stuff we've been working on. Okay, the ABA must be banned for treason, and so on. You can find everything on this page. Print it out, read it, comment on it, let us know what you think. We'll correct our errors if you find any, and let's do what we have to do. Okay, so this is extremely important. Now, there's one other thing I want to take a quick look at, okay, and I spoke about this. Let me see where I put this. It should be under today's. Yeah, here it is. You know, I spoke about this a couple of months ago, and I've been speaking to people about this issue. And I'm finding out a lot of people don't understand what we're talking about when we talk about EMPs or solar flares. And so I want to just go real quickly on this. I'm not going to spend any more than maybe about 5 minutes on this, and then I'm going to move on to the next part of our program. We'll get to an open forum soon also. But people should come to this page. Again, it is underneath today's issue. It's the first one, electromagnetic pulse protection. Okay. And we are in a precarious way. The chances of an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, okay, the chances of that being thrown over America, which can be done, they can shut the entire America down by exploding a some kind of a nuclear weapon in our atmosphere, and it can shut down the entire United States, parts of Canada, and also parts of Mexico. I don't think that's going to happen, but it could happen. These people are desperate. I don't know if they have any controls of those things to be able to do that. If they do, that's one way they may get to blackouts. By the way, someone's mic is open. Please mute yourself. So that's one way they can do it, that one thing that they could do. But it is a possibility. And if they're going to do that, they're going to do it soon. They're going to do it before the election or during the election, because that's when they need to black everything out. I know we're concerned about the Internet going down for a while, and that may be the only way things that might happen. Only the Internet will go down. I don't know. But they may shut everything down so they can really cause some chaos and corruption and destruction while they're trying to get their people back in power, because a lot of people are going to be losing power. If anybody's paying attention, a lot of people are not running for office anymore. A lot of Democrats are not running for office anymore. But anyway, I'm just going to play a very short video. We're going to pay, I don't know how to say his name, Miko Kaku. Says we are sitting ducks for a solar flare. That's what we need to worry about more than an EMP. An EMP is very possible. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen within the next 6 months, I think. But solar flares, we've been getting some recently. At least they say we've been getting some, because we've lost satellites, and they were military satellites. We lost 19, I think it was one shot, 19 went up, and they got totaled out because they couldn't get them protected quick enough. Some solar flares, but other things may have happened to cause that, but the story is that solar flares caused that. Every 11 years, the sun goes into this craziness. I think it flips the poles, and they gets very active, and potential solar flares come out. And if one solar flare goes out and heads towards the United States, it could cause havoc. We are protected, by magnetic field around the Earth. We're protected from solar flares, generally speaking. But the real strong ones get through, okay? And that's what you got to read about. The really big one that got through goes back into the 1800s. I forget what year. If you go through this stuff, we have the year in there. But I think it was called the Carrington event. And, a lot of damage was done way back then, but we didn't have much electronics. Now, one of the things that people have to realize, people have been complaining about this for a long time, and I've been aware of this for a while, and I've been thinking about building Faraday cages and protect my electronics and my generator, and they say, oh, how am I going to protect my house? There's no way to protect my house. I have all these computers and, all this stuff. I mean, how do I get that into a box? I'm going to have to build a big cage. I've been thinking about it for a while, racking my brain out on this. And then I found this EMP thing here that we're going to talk about. And again, just going to spend a few minutes on it. We have to find a way to protect everything. Now, President Trump, when he came into office in 2017, one of the first things he did in that first year, okay, was to put forth an order to find a way to protect our electrical grid, to protect our infrastructure, and how we can protect all the things that we need to protect, our electronics. And so the military was involved in this. And by 2019, they're already starting to put up the necessary protections on all of our infrastructure. Our satellites have been all protected also. And even if you have a heart monitor or anything, a pacemaker, that's already protected. The newer ones are anyway. So a lot of things have been protected. Now, the electric company was supposed to contact the people. I never got the phone call. But anyway, they're supposed to have contacted the people to make them aware of the problem so that they protect their homes. And, so if we get hit with a flare, solar flare, and the infrastructure is protected, but your home is not. Okay? So anything in your home that's an electronic is going to be totally destroyed. Printers, your computers, your cell phone, so on and so forth. If your cell phone is plugged in at the time, it should be protected then. It'll be protected by it. This particular system that they set up, they tested with 42 hits, okay? I don't remember how big the voltage was on that, but I don't know if it's a voltage or the other one. But in any event, you'll read through that stuff here. But everything is protected. Anything that's plugged into your house is protected. And this unit gets put onto you. It takes 15 minutes to install. I put one on my house. It took less than 15 minutes to put into my electrical box. I put one on my generator. It took 10, 15 minutes for that. And they got one for the car. I put one on my car because your car, everything's electronic in your car. It's all going to fry if we get hit. Okay, it's going to fry and it's gone. So the investment is good. It's cheap considering the damages that's going to be done. But this is extremely important. I don't know if people realize how important this is because we're coming up for another 11 years. And every 11 years is the real potential of this kind of an event. And last year we had a couple of close calls, but the sun it wasn't facing us. The earth, it missed the earth. But it's going to happen eventually. And it could happen this next coming up. I think in the next year, 2 years, I think is the next event that starts to take place. And the sun takes another flip, poles change, and then all of this activity takes place. Okay, so I'm going to play this one video. It's only a few minutes long. I think it's 5 minutes. People should come by here, read this page, really consider doing what they need to do. Down on the bottom, I found a really, really good video. These are the people that are selling the product, by the way. These are the people that worked with the government, and they got protection on just about everything, you know. The main protections we're concerned with is car, generator, and house. But again, this is about an hour long, and they go through a lot of details. They talk about things that are already protected and when this whole system started. The infrastructure right now is totally protected. Okay, totally protected. Satellites, totally protected. Your home, not protected. And by the way, this thing also protects against a lightning strike. I don't know whether I said this. I think I did, but I'm going to say it again. The military, this is military grade. They tested it, and they hit it 40 times. Okay, without reset, 40 times the kind of power that would be hit by a solar flare at the highest level. And it held up 40 times. So, you know, when you get a solar flare, we could get numerous events over a 24-hour period. But anything that's plugged into your house is protected. Okay, I still have a steel box where cell phones and small little things that I just stick in there. You'll get some warning because it'll probably be a 24-hour warning because that's how long it takes for the solar flare to actually travel to actually hit the Earth. And so a real huge event, we would hope that they would tell us about it. Although they haven't told us about the ones that we lost, these 19 satellites. I mean, they told us about it, but they didn't give us any warning. In any event, people need to consider what they're going to do here. All right, anyway, this is about an hour long. I'm not going to play this. People can play this on their own. It's very powerful, gets into a lot of details, answers a lot of questions, and you will get a lot of, you'll see how important this really is. And this is what the EMP looks like. This is what my electrical box looks like right now, exactly like this. This is how I set it up, just like this, okay? Very simple. Goes into a 20-amp breaker. You just put a 20-amp double-pole breaker, so you get line 1 and line 2 connected, and connect this box to it. A little green light comes on. You know it's on. You're protected. That's it. Same thing in your car. Same thing on your generator. Okay, this video, and then we'll move on to our next part of our program. It's 5 minutes long.
The question, what is the biggest disaster of 2012 if we had a crystal ball? Well, first of all, let me tell you what's probably not going to happen in 2012. We're probably not going to see Armageddon, Doomsday, the end of the world, the apocalypse, even if you look at the Mayan calendar. Now, if you look at the calendars of many indigenous peoples, you realize that their calendars were cyclic because they were very close to Mother Nature, very close to the cycles of the weather, the cycles of the planet. And therefore, one cycle ends and another cycle begins. But unfortunately, I think Westerners saw something, hijacked it, realized they could best-selling books by talking about the end of the world, and the thing began to have a life of its own. So let's take a look at some of these prophecies. One says that perhaps another planet on its face will come near the Earth, disrupt the whole solar system. Well, let's be blunt about this. We don't see anything out there at all. In fact, you have to go way beyond Pluto before you find objects that are the size of Pluto, and they are billions upon billions of miles in outer space. So we're not going to expect to see that happen. Another group of people say that perhaps the Earth aligns with the center of the Milky Way galaxy where there's a black hole. Well, just remember that that happens once a year. And the black hole at the center of the Milky Way galaxy is tens of thousands of light years away from us, and we simply orbit in a stable orbit around the black hole. Now, one danger, however, that we have to look at more carefully than before is the question of catastrophic solar flares. That's something that has been poo-pooed, but we now realize is actually more dangerous than we previously thought. If you take a look at the record, you go back to 1859. That is the famous Carrington event. Carrington was an astronomer. He noticed unusual activity on the sun, and then all hell broke loose on the planet Earth with regards to telecommunications, specifically telegraph wires. All of a sudden, telegraph wires that were dormant sprung to life and would transmit signals all by themselves. Some places, fires got started because telegraph wires were overloaded. The aurora borealis, usually seen near the North Pole, was seen over Cuba, for God's sake. And it turns out that you could read the newspaper at night in Cuba by the light of the Northern Lights. Well, I'm a physicist. We can then use these bits of information to go backwards and calculate the intensity of that solar flare. And the coronal mass ejection was incredible. In fact, if it were to happen today, which it won't, but if it were to happen today, it would wipe out most of our satellites, short-circuit their machinery. We would black out our weather satellites, GPS systems, telecommunications, the internet. Power stations would be vulnerable. They would also be short-circuited and wiped out, not just in one city where other cities come to the rescue, but in cities simultaneously across the entire planet Earth. Refrigeration would be knocked out for perhaps weeks at a time. There could be food riots as a consequence. Ordinary simple business transactions would be halted because you can't make a credit card transaction because the telephone wires are out. Society as we know it would be thrown back perhaps 100 years into the past. Now, of course, we don't expect another Carrington event to take place every year. But every 11 years, the North Pole and the South Pole of the Sun flip. When the North Pole and the South Pole of the Sun flip, it released a burst of electromagnetic energy called a sunspot cycle that then eventually hits the Earth. We now know that if you look at the solar activity of the Sun, these solar sunspots are like rifles, and they will eject huge bursts of energy like a rifle. But the Earth is very small, and outer space is huge. So for the most part, we dodged the bullet. But going back in the history books, you now realize that many times in the past, the Earth came close to being hit. In fact, just a few months ago, one of these bullets grazed the planet Earth, did not hit us. So the physicists of the American Physical Society, my organization, an organization of about 30,000 physicists in the United States, have petitioned the United States Congress to spend a few $100 million reinforcing our satellites, creating redundant systems, reinforcing our power stations, building the protocols by which we can create an electronic infrastructure that would withstand another Carrington event. No one knows when the next Carrington event will take place. Maybe in 1,000 years. Maybe in the next solar cycle, which begins in late 2012. Who knows? It's Russian roulette. But it means that our society, as we know it, is potentially in danger. We are sitting ducks to a potential giant solar flare.
Okay, one of the things I just want to mention here, this is done back in 2012 or 2011, and he was talking about, you know, going to Congress and trying to get them to do something, and others have gone to Congress, too, before to do something, and as we, you know, nothing is ever done. So But in 2017, when Trump took office, one of the main things he did in his first year is to protect our infrastructure, and it did get done. But your home has not gotten done. That's the key. And you know, by the way, if you go and click on our buttons to order, you know, we became a reseller in this, so you'll be able to make some money at this and support the NLA's effort. But you'll get $50 off. So again, if you click on this right here, okay, you'll go to a page. It really gives you this page here gives you a lot of basic information. But then you can go and make the purchase. Okay, there's quite a few buttons in here throughout the page. Click here to order now, and you get $50 off. Okay, now the price is, I think it's, what was it, $270? No. Goodness, I forget what the price is. Let's see if I can find it real quick. Let's click on Get Protection. Okay, vehicle, home. Let's click on home protection. Okay, there's your setup. $389. And of course, coming through here, if you don't see it, you can put in a coupon NLA, National Liberty Alliance, NLA. But it should do it automatically when you add it to cart. And it'll take $50 off that. And then we here at National Liberty Alliance, for every sale that we make on this, we get $50 for the sale. And of course, that goes back right back into the effort, NLA's effort to save the republic. So we have to find ways, of course, of making money in order to continue. We've got a lot of work to do, and we do want to rebuild our website to get very sophisticated. And that's probably going to cost $100,000 to $150,000 to do it right, because we want to do something very heavily integrated throughout the entire nation to deal with the election and many, many other things. So hopefully sometime in the future, as we get going and we get enough people giving in, maybe some rich people out there, if anybody out there that's a patriot that's got some money and wants to really do something, well, NLA is the thing you should consider. But anyway, EMP protection, extremely important. People need to think about it. You know, I know times are hard and money's scarce and money's not worth much, but if you get hit and your house gets... And the other thing is lightning strike, by the way. I mean, there's a potential of a lightning strike hitting your home, hitting the wire right outside, and just killing everything in your house. This also protects you from that. Now, a lightning strike, that will destroy the unit. And if you do get hit with a lightning strike, it's guaranteed, and they cover that. I think they charge you $50 for another one. I think that's what the deal is. But also, if there's any damage by a lightning strike to anything in your home, I forget the amount up to a certain amount, $30,000. I don't remember what the number is. But if you read through the literature, you'll find out. So if your computer got fried or anything else got fried, they will replace it. So it's guaranteed. It's a real good guarantee. But the key thing is the concern with solar flares. I wouldn't worry too much about an EMP, but an EMP if possible. And if an EMP is going to happen, it's going to happen this year. It's going to happen before or during the election. That's my strong opinion, if it's going to happen. But solar flares are definitely would do for the next one in 2023. That's when the sun's going to flip. So from 2023 on, and it could be a little earlier than that, that things happen because the sun starts to get active. And then we said that's the 11th year time period. So 2023 is the next time. 2012 was the last one. But we have been hit, just missed with a few, and we have been hit with a few that did some damage to, some satellites that were put up there and didn't have time to be able to maneuver and put itself into a protective mode. They were hit pretty quick after they were put up. So, okay. With that, we're going to move on. Anybody wants to get into the queue, a star 6 and a 1 to get into the queue. Is Brent here? Terry?
Hi, I'm meeting.
No? Okay. We'll go into an open forum in a few. Gerard had a bad reaction to something, and he's lost his voice, so he's not going to be talking tonight. If he gets it back, I'm sure he'll yap in somewhere, but in any event... Do we have any announcements, Jan, or do we have any questions?
I have one question for you, John.
Okay.
If I were the CEO of a billion-dollar oil drilling corporation and received a letter from the federal government to shut down my operations, why couldn't I just ignore the letter and continue operations as usual? So I'm going to continue drilling, selling, and exporting my oil. They could threaten me with fines and sanctions. Any of these would get thrown out of court with a jury of my peers. I just keep dismissing the jury pool till I get family and friends of my employees. Isn't this how liberty works? What could the government do?
Well, again, like you say, they can fine and do some other things. Remember, you are controlled under equity, so there is controlling law, legislation to control all businesses. Unfortunately, there's businesses that they should be controlling and they're not. But I don't see how they can stop you from producing oil, so I would agree with that being a problem for them. But it would be a fight in court. They would stack the jury. They would make sure they won. Once we get to the other side, of course, it's a whole different thing. But once we get to the other side, all this is going to open up anyway. And when I say the other side, I mean the other side of devolution, which there's no doubt in my mind at all. I feel very confident to say that is going to happen this year. There's no getting away. The just question is when. So, yeah, I would agree. You have every right to do, as long as you follow the regulations, the basic regulations, the idea to just shut down. Well, I don't know how they can come up with that. First of all, they'd have to come up with legislation. Second of all, they would have to, well, first of all, I think this would be really first of all, they would have to have the authority to make such kind of legislation to shut you down. But Gerard sent a note that they have lots of permits to control you. But again, anything disruptive is a problem that could be battled. You could win in a court of law as long as you can get a jury that's not stacked. The problem is your jury will probably be stacked. All right, anything else or any announcements?
No, that's it for tonight, John.
Okay. All right, if Brent comes in, let me know. Anybody, we only got one person in the queue. If anybody has a question or a comment, star 6 and a 1. Hopefully people have thoughts and ideas or even offering a correction or a challenge on some of the things we teach here. Questions or a challenge on any of the things we've been talking about recently, whether it's the Bar Association, whether it's political parties, sovereignty, whether it is, this candidate as far as interviewing candidates, leaving the party so that you have more power and authority by leaving the party. You have less power or authority leaving the party. And one other thing I'd like to mention, and that is when the parties, eventually the parties will fall apart as long as the people get up and do their business. But meanwhile, parties will be bringing people into power. They will be electing people. But when we can make notification to them when they are violating the things that we know are wrong, and if they don't make that correction, we can take them out of office. But remember, in order to do that, let's say you have a congressman that is just, needs to be taken out. Well, do you have committees of safety in the counties that have control over that county, that congressman? Maybe four counties, maybe two counties, maybe three counties come together to put onto the election, onto the ballot, a particular congressman. Do we have people in those counties that have started committees of safety that can pull that individual out of office or correct them and pull them out if they don't take the correction, even though they were elected by a party? Okay, we can recall anyone, but you have to have people within those election districts, and that's why I say we have to control at least half the counties in America. That's why you have to control at least half the counties within your state, to have that kind of control. Okay, state legislators, same thing. You know, you have to have the control over them, and you have to have committees of safety to do it. So people need to get up and do this. You know, there are a lot of people that are not doing it. They come to our meetings, and there are a lot of people that, you know, may listen to our programs and be a little involved and support us, but they're not doing it. They need to do it. Woe is us if we don't. Okay, again, there's nobody in the queue except for one person, star 6 and a 1. Let me know if Brent shows up. First caller is Q. Not Q. Ross in the queue. Let's see. Let's take Ross. Go right ahead, Ross. You got the mic.
Hello, John. Should I write an invitation to invite people to the organize the community safety and post it on public notice on a public notice board?
Sure, you could do that. You could put it on a public notice board. You know, the best thing to do when inviting people to a committee of safety, you know, first of all, you know, try to get a partner or two. So you got two or three people, you know, working on this. You can, you know, do this over Skype. You could do it over the phone. You can meet for coffee occasionally or whatever. You don't have to have regular meetings. But in the beginning, until you plan on organizing, when you get about six or so people, seven people together, then that might be the time to say, okay, let's set a date in 30 days or whatever. But you have to have a plan. And, you know, you get a list, and you should be able to Google a lot of this stuff. You can go to meetup.com to get a list of different groups, using zip codes to find the groups in so many miles or whatever, and who have liberty groups going. And there's all kinds of liberty groups, and it doesn't have to be a liberty group per se. It could be any kind of a group. You know, a rod and gun club, okay, would be a good place to start. But many organizations that are out there that meet from time to time to do things. The Rotary Club is another one. So there's a lot of things, a lot of people you can contact. But every county's got a couple of liberty groups. You can find them. Every county usually has a rod and gun club. I wouldn't say everybody, a lot of them anyway, and different organizations. So you want to make contact with the leadership and give them a little information and ask them if you can go talk to those people or invite those people to a meeting. If you have a group, you ask to go talk to the group and then bring them together. And if you go to a rod and gun club or a place that has a lot of meetings and they have large meetings, so they have large meeting rooms, you can work on an arrangement to use their meeting rooms. They should do this for nothing because they should be partaken. All of these people should be partaken, and they should be honored to be able to use their place as something like this to bring the people together, to bring liberty and the republic back to our nation again. So they should be honored to that. But again, you visit those groups, you talk to those groups, and then you invite all those people to the meeting. And it doesn't matter inviting people in the county next door or whatever, because you need those counties next door to get also involved to start a group and support each other. And that's where the Committee of Correspondence comes in, to make contact with the existing committees of safety within your state to begin with, and also with National Liberty Alliance, so we can work together on a national level to communicate information, ideas, and corrections and different things, you know, across the entire nation, ultimately. But all that takes time to build that kind of an infrastructure, but we need to be busy about building it now. You know, we're not going to accomplish this before the next election. That's clear. But we need to be able to accomplish a lot of this before the next election, after the next election. We need to accomplish the goals in order to take this back before the next election or the election after that. It'll take a couple of years maybe to do it. If we can get out the word to a larger group, so if anybody can get us interviews, you know, I'd love to be interviewed by any group anywhere, radio programs or anything, that'll get our message out to really lots of people. You know, maybe we can explode rather quickly. But the other thing, going back to people, is contact your district leader. Okay, you can find your district leader here. nationallibertyalliance.org. Okay, you can go to the directory to find district leader, or you can go to your starter committee of safety to find your county committee of safety, and you'll find your district leader there too. But go to directory, click on district leaders, and you will find a list. There are 10 districts. You find out what state, what district your state is in. For instance, New York is in District 9, Montana is in District 3, Washington is District 1, and so on. So you find district leader, and you'll get their name and phone number here. Give them a call, and they should be able to assist you with giving you a list. They won't give you emails, because people can abuse that, and people can come in to do this just to get the emails. But we'll give you their phone numbers, their first name and their phone numbers and their county. And you want to contact the people in your county, invite them to the meeting. You'll also want to contact people in the counties close by. And when the time comes, we'll send out a big blast if you want, so that all the people in all the counties within your state are aware. If they want to come, they can come. Or someone close by, maybe it's a county that's close to the border, that maybe like New York and New Jersey, and you know, just across the border there is counties in Jersey. They may want to come. And that's okay, because it is a universal thing. They'll come and learn, and then you can tell them how you'll assist them in doing what you're doing. They can do the same thing, get the same support that you got through NLA. They could do the same thing by locating different community, groups within your county or general area that you can, get information and get people to attend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hold on, Ross.
I just want to make the announcement, because we don't have many people in the queue. We do have one other person in the queue now, but again, star 6 and a 1 to get into our queue. Star 6 and a 1. Go ahead, Ross. Back to you.
I was just saying I'm just struggling to start one, because I barely know anybody in the county enough to start one.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's why you need one partner. The first thing, order of business, is to get a hold of the list through your district leader, okay? Get a hold of the list with phone numbers, and then you can start by calling up people within your county or your counties nearby and try to get a partnership going with one or two more people. You know, once you have another person in, now you got two people who can try to find a person. And next thing you know, you got four people and six people and eight people. You know, by the time you get eight people, 10 people, somewhere around there, that's when you want to start really hitting the groups close by, you know, the Liberty groups, visiting them, and, bringing in, bring the message to those groups, and then inviting them to, you know, your first real meeting. I would try to, again, rod and gun clubs is one of the best things to go for. They're into the gun issue, the Second Amendment. They're generally mostly patriots. They're local, they're active. So I would go to show them the plan first, and hopefully you would get some excitement about them, and then ask to use that, their meetup area, you know, their building, as a place for people to come together and get a committee.
How about, like, veterans groups?
Veteran group, yeah, the VA is good, absolutely. So veteran group is definitely really good. That's one of the best groups probably to go to, because, you know, people who have been in the service generally are patriots.
Mm-hmm.
So anything else, Ross?
Nope.
Okay. Thank you. And by the way, just a note, because I know you're interested, we haven't really done much with this Connecticut deal out there with the sheriffs. A lot of that information is already collected, but we do want to get active soon. You know, I was ill for a while, so I was out for 3 weeks or so, and also had a lot of personal problems. You know, I'm putting on a new roof and one of my extensions here, and things that I got to get done. I've just been so busy, but I am trying to get back to working on that. I got a couple of things I need to finish off on, and then I really want to concentrate on this sheriff problem in Connecticut. We have a sheriff problem in New York, and any other place that we have. Anybody that's aware of a state that has gotten rid of their sheriffs, or in some counties have gotten rid of their sheriffs, please let us know, state and county, that don't have sheriffs. And whatever information you got about the fact that you don't have a sheriff, maybe a website you read it on or something, or whatever you can tell us, send it to mail, M-A-I-L, at National Liberty Alliance, and put in the subject line, just put in sheriff, no sheriff, or something like that. And then we can add that to the list, because when we go out after these people, we're going to approach it in a couple of different ways. But at the last end, which we may have to go to, we'll have to go into the court. We'll do a federal court thing. But right now, really, it's an approach of the state and the individuals who got rid of the sheriff to let them know that they broke the law. It's unlawful. They can't do it. Sheriffs must be reinstated. So we'll try to plead with the legislators, for instance, in Connecticut, for instance. Now, they didn't legislate them out. But they put it out as the vote to the people, and that's how ignorant the people are. But the votes are fixed anyway, probably. But nevertheless, the people are so ignorant, they voted to get rid of the sheriff in Connecticut. But that's not possible either. Go ahead, Ross.
Another county, they didn't lose the sheriff, so they incorporated the sheriff of Salt Lake County in Utah.
What do you mean incorporated? The county was incorporated, not the sheriff's department, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what they did, is change the sheriff of Salt Lake County is no more elected by the people.
Oh, well, that's got needs to be fixed, so we need to know about that. Send me a note to state and county, and whatever information you have on that, a website or something, or a PDF you can attach a file or something, so we become aware of that. Because when we go after these agencies or elected individuals or whatever that got rid of the sheriffs or whatever process they used, we're going to try to correct them first, see if they received correction. And then, if not, then we'll take it into the courts. So that's what we
John,
need to do.
Okay.
John?
Yep.
As to Utah, this is Brent.
Yeah, Brent.
As to Utah, I don't know the law in every state. I suppose that nobody would know that. But I do know that in Utah, the office of sheriff is not an office that the Constitution of the state establishes. When the Mormons put the Constitution in place, or whoever did it, in some states it's a matter of Constitution, in some states it's a matter of common law,
mm-hmm.
But in Utah it's a matter of the legislature passing a statute, and whatever the legislature has authority to create, it has the authority to take away. That's the common law rule. But where the common law is used, which is unwritten, to establish the sheriff, it's pretty solid. Where it's written in the Constitution of the state, it's pretty solid. Or where it's done the way they've done it there in Utah, it's not solid at all. And I speculate.
That's the entire state? All the counties have this problem?
The entire state. It's a matter of the existence of the sheriff, the way I understand it in Utah. It depends upon whether or not the state legislature wants to pass a statute saying they'll have sheriffs in their counties. That's what I understand.
Okay, definitely I'll put that on my list, and I'll take a look.
A good situation.
Well, amen to that. It's not a good situation, that's for sure.
Uh-huh.
Okay, now that I see you're here, we're going to pass over to you in a minute, okay?
All right, thanks.
Yeah, just give me a minute. Just to make another note here, we got one other person in the queue. Anybody else wants to get into the queue, *6 and a 1. We're going to go to Brent, and then we'll see about trying to get to whoever's in the queue at that point after that. Okay, I'm going to move over to you, Brent. Brent is the author of The Excellence of the Common Law and many other books and booklets. His website is commonlawyer.com. Brent, you got the mic.
Thank you, John.
You know, keep it a little short because we don't have too much time. We do have one person in the queue. We'll see if we get maybe another one, but we'll see what happens.
Thank you for the admonition, I'll keep it short. Just to mention a few things. Of course, we're conducting a grand jury class, and you can find out about that and how to participate at commonlawyer.com. Let me say a few words about the grand jury. There's more than we could say that could be said, but we've tried to pack it, of course, into 12 lessons of an hour and a half apiece.
By the way, if you get that information to Jan, he'll put it on the next newsletter. We'll keep it on the newsletter for as long as you're running those programs and tell him how to, how to connect with you to get into that course. So just get the basic information. I'm sure Francine can probably get it to Jan, and then Jan will can include it in the our weekly letters. But go ahead.
Oh, that's good. Thanks, John. That's a good idea. Appreciate it. Well, to say a few things about the grand jury. Of course, the grand jury is there to bind a man over for criminal trial. Just like the House of Representatives impeaches the president, that means impeach is an old word that means to catch by the foot. So the House of Representatives votes by a majority to catch the president by the foot, or a judge, or the vice president, or whoever they want to get out of office. They don't have the power to try him, but the House of Representatives, by analogy, acts as the grand jury. And they hold him over by catching him by the foot and say, here he is, we got him by the toe, now you can try him and see if you can throw him out of office. Turn him over to the Senate, see? Well, that's by analogy what the grand jury does. It catches a person and holds him and binds him over to the trial jury to try him for a crime. But the grand jury has a tremendous amount of power, you see, because the grand jury says yes or no to the government. Yes, Mr. Prosecutor for the government, you may try this man for the crime we've indicted him of, and if you win, you can take his life, his liberty, his property, or a combination thereof. Or no, you may not. All the grand jury can say is yes or no, but saying yes or no is a lot of power. It's a lot of power. Indeed, it's enough power. The grand jury has enough power to stop the most powerful government to ever govern on the faces of the planet, namely the present-day United States. Well, all evidence the grand jury hears has to be, like any other evidence, it's ultimately oral evidence. I mean, even evidence on a piece of paper, such as a contract, a promissory note, a check, whatever, still, in court or before the grand jury, has to be authenticated by an oral witness. An oral witness is necessary at common law for every piece of evidence, an oral witness, to be a witness, has two requirements. Fundamentally, number one, he must be sworn. Whether he goes in front of the grand jury, the trial jury, in either case, he must be sworn. If he's not sworn, he's not a witness. He tries to testify without being sworn. The law says the testimony can be struck from the record and not considered if they find out it wasn't sworn. Well, witnesses that go before the grand jury have to be sworn. And if they're not sworn, and the grand jury indicts, that means binds the target of the grand jury investigation, binds him over for trial, and the witnesses upon which that indictment are based weren't sworn, well, then the indictment is quashed. Q-U-A-S-H-E-D. That means smashed, done away with. I don't know why they don't say something else. Quashed is a nice, quick word, I'll say that. Well, a witness is someone having firsthand, direct, sensual perception of the fact or facts to be proven. And second, he must be sworn. And we'd already talked about him being sworn. If he's not sworn, he's not a witness. Can't testify. But he also must have direct, sensual perception of the fact or facts to be proven. If he doesn't have direct, sensual perception of the fact or facts to be proven, he's not a witness to anything. Get him off the witness stand, and if you find that out, he'll be taken off. But those are the fundamental requirements for a witness. Of course, he's got to be able to testify. He somehow has to be able to communicate what he has had direct sensual perception of. He's either got to be able to talk or scribble something on a pad and answer questions on the witness stand or do sign language or something, or he's not a witness. Well, I should say, let's be very careful about the way we say that. If he has direct sensual perception of the fact or facts to be proven, he is a witness no matter whether he ever testifies to it or not. Let's be careful. No, he's a witness. The question is, he can't perform as a witness unless he has some way to communicate what he has seen or heard or touched or felt or tasted or smelt. All of those make you a witness or a combination of them. Well, I'm going to stop there. I was going to stop at 10 till. It's close enough. I won't get into another subject. We did finish up what a witness is. I suppose we got someplace, and nobody can take everything in. And I can't say everything that has to be said, but we can say a little, and we'll call in the dogs and head for the house. Thank you, John.
Okay. Thank you. And I think you already agreed with us. I'm pretty sure we spoke about this, that it is the sheriff that has to approach the grand jury, of course, on any of his deputies or whatever. I think it's too dangerous and no reason for the prosecutors to do that, because they always get the ham sandwich. And what they do is they love to, add charges later on without going back to the grand jury. And they also take charges off, what they don't have the authority to do either. And so that whole system just doesn't work. They can't be trusted. And it's got to be the sheriff or the coroner that brings the charges to the grand jury, the request for the charges to the grand jury. So I think you agree with that, right?
No, yes. Sheriff Darr, he is of that opinion. If he wants to impanel the grand jury, what is there to stop him? What law would keep him from doing that?
And it's very easy for him to do. All he's got to do is go down to the clerk and say, hey, want to talk with the jury next time he's in. When are they coming in? It's that simple. It's none of their business on what he wants to talk to him about. So, but they love to add and take away charges. They don't have that power authority either. So we have a lot of work to do to fix this problem. I don't know if you're aware of this, but on a federal level, when a grand jury finds that they're going to indict, and so they find the charges as being correct, that when they sign it, the claim is that if the U.S. attorney doesn't sign it, it doesn't go through. It requires both signatures, and that has got to be fixed also. It should only require the signature of the jury foreman in order for the charges to go through and take effect. But you might want to look into that and bring that issue up on the federal level there.
That's a good idea. We did mention it once because we discovered that particular requirement has never been solidly established one way or the other as a matter of legislation or even a court opinion. In other words, courts go back and forth whether or not the U.S. attorney is supposed to sign it or not. But it seems apparent from just looking at all the cases that he's not required to. Sometimes he does, but a lot of times through the years, the decades, the U.S. attorney never signed the indictment, and the indicted man complained to the court, and the court said, well, he doesn't have to sign it. He can if he wants to, but that's not going to do away with the indictment if he doesn't sign it. And that's what you're talking about, I think.
Right, right.
Yep.
No, there seems to be some language of that concern. I don't know if you've ever read the Federal Jurist Handbook. It was written by Clinton, and I forget the name of the other individual. But it's really an abortion. I did a paper on that. It really has some serious, serious problems. So you should look into that also, to discuss that maybe in the course. Concerning, you know, what the federal, you can't go to all the handbooks. I mean, each state probably has their own, you know.
Uh-huh.
But I know the federal one, you know, that covers all the states. You should look into that. I have a copy up on the website. I just can't think of where it's at the moment.
But, oh, okay. Well, thank you. I think I did look at it once, but I want to go back and revisit. There's so much to look at. I can't.
I'll drop something into your Skype. I did a rebuttal on it. You know, their points, my points, uh-huh. Their points, back and forth. You could take a look at that, and I'll see if I can't find the copy of the federal handbook. You can get that online. It's pretty simple anyway. So.
Well, thank you, John. Okay. Appreciate
all right,
it.
Thank you. Okay, we're going to go back to Q&A. We have one other person in the queue. We don't have much time anyway, but if someone pops in, we'll try to take them. Maybe you can give us your first name. It looks like you're from Texas. What's your first name? You got the mic. 806 area.
Kenneth.
Kenneth. Go right ahead, Kenneth. You got the mic.
There's a bunch of corruption here in my town, and the sheriff, needs to be done. The judges, the DA, it's all corrupt. And I'm having a big difficulty getting anyway. There's no district leader. I've called. I can't get any answers. I'm trying to finish all the courses, start a committee, a militia.
Safety, okay.
And I'm just having, I've completed, I'm in the middle of a jury administrator's course at the moment.
Okay, you're in District 7. I see you're in Texas, so you're in District 7. Have you called Stephen, District Leader 7?
I did not get any reply back.
Okay. Francine, who should be the contact, or Jen, who should be the contact for someone if they can't get through to their district leader? Jen or Francine?
I'm here, John. What was the gentleman's question? I need to know what the question is.
He's called the district leader, and he hasn't got back. District number
7. What is his issue? Not calling a district leader. What is his issue?
Well, I think he wants assistance. Go ahead. What was what did you want to talk with him about, Kenneth?
Trying to start a committee to safety and a reserve militia.
Well, the militia, you know, the Committee of Safety is the key, and the militia will be developed under the Committee of Safety, and you'll also be under some control to some degree, you know, not really control, but under the auspices, I guess is a good word to use, with the sheriff, with the militia. But you want to organize that very carefully. You want to get the Committee of Safety going. We have a detailed process of how to get the militia going. Brent wrote a book on the militia. We did a course on the book that Brent had written and put it up onto our website. So all of that needs to be done in a proper way. So it's the Committee of Safety that you want to focus in on, and the militia will work with it. So you're trying to get in contact with a district leader to get assistance.
I'll talk to him tomorrow. I can't read the last two digits of his phone number. Can you tell me what those are, please?
53? Eight five.
8-5-1-4-8-5. Thank you.
Yes.
I'll call him tomorrow.
All right. Francine will give you a call tomorrow and see if she can assist you. You know, I'm going to try to be at tomorrow night's meeting maybe just for a couple of minutes. Well, I'll talk with you. I don't think I need to be there. I'll talk with you tomorrow, Francine. Okay?
Also a question to Brent. The grand jury cannot call for an investigation as well?
Oh, sure they can. And Brent, do you want to respond to that? Yeah, they can investigate. In the process of being a grand jury, if they discover something else at a left field or right field or whatever, and they say, whoa, they have the power to go and investigate. And that's where the the jury administrators within the county, which we're trying to develop also, that you'll get assistance from those people in those cases, or the grand jury will get assistance from those people in those cases to empower them to make sure they have access to maybe government offices or whatever information they need so that they could do their investigation.
I've learned up all along, everything from the committeemen to all the way up to the jurors. The sheriff in our county is corrupt, and he's complicit in it along with the judges, and there's just something.
Well, you know, one of the things with the sheriff, and people may misconstrue this, one of the things with the sheriff is as ignorant as we are. So they follow the lead of the judges, they follow the lead of the attorneys, because they figure they know the law, they know what's going on. They don't really understand that they shouldn't be following anyone's lead and that they don't need their assistance. If they take the proper courses that we have here at National Liberty Alliance, they can go through the courses. The very important course is the one that Brent was doing with the sheriffs and with Sheriff Darr and on the grand jury right now particularly. Sheriff, did he get a book? You know, one of the things you might want to do is put a donation into the campaign for constitutional sheriffs, and we'll make sure your sheriff gets a book and a letter from Sheriff Darr and a letter from National Liberty Alliance. And the other thing is that's where the beginning of the education. So he may look like a bad guy because he's enforcing the law as he understands it because he doesn't know the true law, but he needs to be educated. And if that sheriff is a problem, and it's up to the people to get rid of them. Remember, the Committee of Safeties is countywide. So the county sheriff, that's his domain that he's responsible for, his jurisdiction. And so the Committee of Safety can take him out of office, or they can put another sheriff in, or they can support him, and they can school him and make sure he gets educated. And so, again, that's how important the Committees of Safety are. This is government by consent. If the people expect to be ignorant and free, as Thomas Jefferson has said, they expect what never was and never will be. And if the people don't step up and take control, then the government surely will. And that's where we're at right now. The government controls everything. They're mommy and daddy. We need to take it back. But go ahead. Back to you, Kenneth.
I'm aware of it. Like I said, one has already been delivered one of the letters to the sheriff. And he is I can't go into the, we don't have time to go into all the corruption, all the things that have been done, mm-hmm. but he's very complicit in it all, and I don't know if he's getting paid or what, but there's, like I said, it's the good old boy stuff.
Right. Yeah, there are sheriffs that are really as corrupt as anyone else out there, so that exists, unfortunately. But, you know, when the government fears the people, that's when you have liberty. And if you bring this sheriff under control, he starts to see a committee of safety, and he starts to understand their power. And he's invited to come talk. He may come and talk and still be corrupt, but at some point in time, he's going to realize that he's not going to be able to hide his corruption from those people, because we're going to dig deep, and we're going to want to know what's going on and why he or she did this or that or the other thing, why they're supporting this when they should be supporting that. Have they taken a constitutional course? You know, what do they know about the Constitution? You see, the people can correct this, you know. So we need to step up, get the committees of safety going and correct it. And, you know, Francine will give you a call tomorrow and assist you in whatever way she can, and make sure you get the necessary information and assistance in getting the Committee of Safety, whatever we can possibly give you.
I appreciate it. Everybody's got their head in the sand. It's just like he said, mm-hmm. quoted different Thomas Jefferson, that it's going to happen if they allow it, and nobody really, everybody's just got their heads in the sand.
Yeah, we're too ignorant, and that is the problem, and there's so much activity around us. I mean, the iPhone alone, in my opinion, is most of the most destructive instruments in America, in my opinion, to our liberty.
Evil, I believe. I feel all cell phones are just the devil.
mm-hmm. Well, look at these things. I've been in business most of my life, and you know, and I didn't have the availability for most of the time I was in business. Of course, I was real quick on the computers and stuff. But those play a good role for people in business and people trying to control things. You know, you can get a lot of, but it's business, and you're actually doing something with it, and you're constructing something, and you're intellectually connected with it in whatever the business is that you're in. But unfortunately, you know, we give them to our children to begin with, and they get themselves in trouble a lot. They cause a lot of problems for each other, things that they do and say. And, you know, remember when you were a child and you were embarrassed about something and a few people may find out because someone's got a big mouth or whatever the case may be. Just imagine how serious and bad it is with a phone, with all these social, you know, communication places. And everybody knows the business. I mean, it's so destructive. We should not, I'll tell you what, we should not be giving our children these kind of phones. You know, if you want to keep in contact and they need to have a connection, okay, fine. But I'll tell you what, they should not be taking these phones to schools. We should be monitoring them if they have that kind of phone. But there's phones that they can get that they don't get involved with all that crap. We need to take it away from our children because it is a problem. They're not mature enough and old enough to deal with this kind of a situation because they can destroy another child's life. I mean, seriously injure them psychologically. There's all kinds of things. And it creates a situation where people speak in short sentences and they don't have the ability to sit and listen and consider an idea. And it's destructive. I see it as just being totally destructive.
Saying that they're not a good tool and they're very great, good for learning and everything, but
right.
They could be used for any effective communication majority of the time, via text messaging. There should be rules to them because most people aren't smart enough to operate them properly.
Well, it's up to the parents to control it, but if they don't, you know, again, the committees of safety responsible for the educational committee, which is responsible for getting into the schools to make sure the proper education is being given to our children and that we get information out to the people in the community so the parents can get involved with the curriculum of their children and really get involved in the school. But it's up to, we need to push the schools to require no cell phones. None of these things should be brought into a school. You know, one of the other things is this computer learning stuff. I mean, that works well if you're doing homeschooling and you know they're being monitored by your parents, of course, and that kind of thing. But you know, computers in school, I understand that children need to learn computers and they should have a computer care class. But those computers shouldn't be used for just about all the subjects. I know right now I've seen from my nephew who finally recently graduated, but I've watched over the years as he's going into the school, and he was getting, didn't come up with textbooks. He was getting printouts. And if he didn't have the printout, you know, he'd be told somewhere on the computer to go where he'd get it and get the printout. So the curriculum changed from 1 week to another. They could do anything with the curriculum, and parents don't know what the curriculum is. And it's because they don't have a textbook or anything. And at least in this school here in New York that my nephew was going to, and I presume a lot of them have gone that way. But look, we have to change this whole thing around. We have to make sure our children get a proper education. Schools should be required to make sure children can learn to drive. Every child coming out of school should be able to drive. Every child coming out of school should be able to handle a weapon properly. Every child going to school should have their civics. They should have. They should know how to access the courts. They should know how to understand the Constitution. They should know their duties as a citizen. That when they come out of school, that they have a duty to get involved in the local community, get involved in the committee of safety, to go out and vote. I mean, all these things must be taught in schools, and it's up to the parents. Okay, to make sure it happens. Now, all the parents are not going to get involved, unfortunately, and all the people are not going to get involved, unfortunately. But as has been said many times, we don't have government by the majority. We have government by the majority that participates. I don't remember who originally said that. It might have been Jefferson or Franklin. I don't remember. But in any event, it's a true fact, of course. You know, 100 people in a county or 150 people in a county actually decide everything politically. People just don't realize that. And that's the party within your county with the committeemen. They control it all. The party bosses control the whole process, okay? And we the people need to take that back, and we need to control it. We need to make sure that a proper education is in school. We need to make sure that our children come out and get involved in the community. And again, it's the school that needs to teach that. But this is what people need to be doing if they want to have government by consent. This is the work you have to get involved with, okay? If you want your liberty, the payment, you're not going to get paid for it. going together once a month, maybe a couple hours during the month to do whatever it is that you have to do on your committee, okay? The payoff and the payment is liberty. That's the payment. Your heritage is the payoff. Is your heritage worth a couple of hours a month? Is liberty for your children, your posterity, worth a couple hours a month? That's the question. And the answer will be seen by those who participate or not. You know? But okay, your final word, Steve. You got anything else? I mean, Kevin, anything else?
I would like to say one thing. In the religious area of the world, there's a four-part series on Amazon called The Days of Noah. And the third one, we should watch it because they've contorted the biblical Bible just like they have our government. And there are things that we should all learn there because they've
That is true. I mean, that's why we read the Bible. You know, I've thought about either doing a prayer or and I really feel stronger on the Bible, to do a chapter on the Bible in the evening, you know, as we come into a meeting instead of a prayer, for numerous reasons. First of all, the Bible in itself is a prayer. The thing is also the key part of the Scripture, that Scripture says also, is faith come from hearing and hearing from the Word of God. So to know truth and learn truth is to listen and hear. And eventually, through the working of the Holy Spirit, many will respond. So that's kind of the key to get that kind of thing out. We can't force people into, you know, getting involved in the Scriptures, but they should. They should. And we do offer, as a matter of fact, up the National Liberty Alliance under our educational tab, I believe we have...
There is Bible.
What was that?
There is Scripture. Under the education tab.
Right, we do. We have also a very, very powerful Bible study. It's called The Harmony of the Gospels, and it's done out of the Gospel of Mark, and it harmonizes all four Gospels. So through Mark, you get to go through all four Gospels and show the harmonizing and how to compare Scripture to Scripture and how to read and understand Scripture and how Scripture is its own interpreter. And so that's what that particular study really teaches. It was one of the first studies, by God's mercy, that I able to come up under the hearing of when I first became a Christian many years ago. And I mean, I've been a Christian all my life, so to speak, but only in name. I actually became a Christian when I started to respond with Christianity in action, and to read the Bible and study and try to struggle to understand. But that Bible study. The study of Mark, okay, let me see, I think I have it under books, might be under books, could be under topical, but it is in here. I don't see it here. You know, I'll try to remember next week and I'll make a note of where that's at, the Gospel of Mark. But, yeah, you know, very important. Some people don't want to and they're not going to and that's fine, but, you know, we have to work off the principles of the Bible because that's who we are as a people. Our heritage really is goes right into the Bible itself. I think Franklin and Jefferson was very, very clear on that when they chose the symbol. What do they call that? I did forget the name of it, but the symbol for America.
The seal.
The seal. The seal, thank you. Yes, the seal. I mean, one chose Moses holding up the rod and spreading the Red Sea as Israel was going through it to protect them from the oncoming Egyptians. The other one chose, and I don't know which one did what, but the other one chose...
Franklin wanted them after they crossed the river and the river would come back over the Egyptians.
Right, and the other one was showing the separation between the Egyptians oncoming to Israel, the people of Israel, separated by fire. And so those were the two seals that was proposed, and they were given the job to do it, and they never responded to it, just silence. And then I've traced this out to some degree, and really we have the New World Order seal brings us to the pyramid and the eagle, ultimately. But and eagle, the eagle brings us to Nazism, or it brings us to to Rome, and the pyramid brings us to Egypt.
Benjamin Franklin hated it, said that the evil eagle was lazy and it sat around and stole from other birds. It was very, very hard.
That's right. I read that. Yeah, Benjamin Franklin. Yeah, I read that. Yep. All right. Well, thanks a lot for the call there, Kenneth. It's getting late, so we're going to close down. We have no more callers in the queue. Did you want to say something else before we close?
I'm good. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Kevin. Okay, Kenneth. Okay. Good night, everyone. Lord willing, we'll see you next Monday. And if you've missed the past weeks, you really should go and bone up on the last couple of weeks' studies. Next week, we're going to look at Republic versus the Democracy and take a look at that. And we'll see where we go after that. But these are important things, and we need to discuss them. People need to look at these things and study them, and if they find any corrections, bring corrections to us, and or anything they want to add, ideas that we can add to that. But we need to get involved. Everybody's got to get up and do something, and you got to do it now. Time is running out. Okay. Thanks, everyone. Good night, everyone. Lord willing, see you next Monday.